First letter to the Corinthians, chapter 12, beginning to read at verse 12. The body is a unit. Though it is made up of many parts, and though all its parts are many, they form one body. And so it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, slave or free, and we were all given the one Spirit to drink. Now the body is not made up of one part, but many. If the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason cease to be part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason cease to be part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has arranged the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you, and the hand cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable, and the parts that we think are less honourable, we treat with special honour, and the parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty. While our presentable parts need no special treatment, but God has combined the members of the body and has given greater honour to the parts that lacked it, so that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honoured, every part rejoices with it. Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Seeing I won't be seeing you for a few weeks after today, I'm going to try you with a joke that has no relevance whatsoever to this sermon. You know that we're having trouble with the big B, don't you? And in America, Mr. Trump's having trouble with the wall that he was hoping the Mexicans were going to build. And he was sat there thinking, how on earth am I going to pay for it, when he got a phone call from Bill Gates. And Bill Gates says, I'll help you build the wall, as long as you let me put windows in it. I'm glad most of you are computer literate. So today we reach our fourth look at the theme, faith that lasts, and this week the key word is belong, which has two main meanings. First, to be the property of, and second, to be a member of, which entails being included, affiliated, connected or linked to something bigger than ourselves, usually an organisation or group. The Apostle Paul realised that the Corinthians evidently hankered after personal glory, as is still sometimes the case in Christian circles. It was disguised as a desire for the high-profile ministries, such as teaching. A basic principle of such ministry is that the glory must be deflected away from the minister and onto Jesus. Those of us who have been given the opportunity to attempt to explain the scriptures have at the back of our minds the sobering verse from the book of James. Not many of you should presume to be teachers, my brothers, because you know that we who teach will be judged more strictly. Enough said. Paul tackles this issue by using the image of the body. Every part is vital, so it doesn't matter what our ministry is. What does matter is that we are obedient to the call and gifting of God. The body has only one head, Jesus Christ, and he should be the only one in the church who has a high profile. It is up to him how he equips the rest of us. As Paul says, if the church was organised by us, we would probably focus on some ministries and forget about others. There is a story about three Christians from different denominations. They were comparing details of the form of worship and terminology in their different churches. And although they recognise that they are all worshipping Christ, pride and tradition rule, as they each think that their way is best. And sadly, This is a true picture of many of our attitudes. We prefer to retreat behind our differences of opinion and custom rather than to rejoice together in our common faith, one body, one baptism, one spirit. Our separatedness not only leads non-believers to scoff, it causes deep grief in God's heart. Paul reminds us that whatever our nationality or religious background, whatever our social status, we should know the deep unity that comes from our common bond in Christ. When the love that binds us supersedes the differences that separate us, we can make an impact on society around us. Then let's imagine drawing a person with a head in one place and the torso in another. Then draw two separate arms with hands and fingers all disconnected, legs, toes, ears, eyes, hair and nose in different corners of the prayer. Ridiculous, but that's often how people behave in many churches, sitting in separate pews or rows of seats away from those they share the Eucharist, some competing for positions of responsibility, but not here, of course. Especially recently. Criticising the way a task is being done but doing little to offer to help. Are they or we right in calling ourselves Christ's body? And do we ever consider what the work of the church is that everyone can have a part in? The work of the church is to heal the brokenhearted out in the world, to give deliverance to the captives, to open the eyes of the blind and to preach the good news to the poor and despairing of heart. That is what the body of Christ has come into the world to do, to encourage, strengthen and help people, and especially to deliver them from the guilt, the loneliness and the misery of sin, and to set them free from the bondage of foul tempers and evil habits and all the rack and ruin of life. That is what the work of the church is. And it does not go on here, it goes on out there. We do not come to church to fulfil the work of the church, we come to get ready to fulfil it out there. But please don't feel that you haven't the skills to do the work that needs doing. There is encouragement in this passage of Scripture. Verse 18 states, "But in fact God has arranged the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be." This means that where you live, with the people with whom you live, is the very place God wants you to exercise the gift he has given you to do the work of the church. Then in verse 20 we read, "As it is, there are many parts, but one body." This is crystal clear because it should forever settle the question of feeling insignificant as part of the body. You cannot say to yourself, "There is no place for me," for there definitely is. In verses 22 to 24, Paul says we must remember that the parts which seem to be weaker are actually indispensable. A preacher out in the Far East was asked a question by a doctor who asked him if he knew that a certain part of his body was absolutely essential to him as a preacher. He guessed his tongue or his brain, but he was wrong. The answer was your big toe. "Without these you cannot stand up to preach, as the big toe has the ability to sense when your body begins to lean or shift or get out of balance or fall, and immediately strengthens you so that you can stand up and speak. Several weeks ago I stubbed my big right toe and I thought it was okay until I went on a 9-mile walk recently, and by gum does it ache. What's more concerning that in a couple of weeks I have to walk 40 miles in 5 days, carrying tents, food and sleeping bag along an island off the coast of South Australia, thoughtfully arranged by my eldest son to see if I am still as fit as he thinks I am. I will let you know in November if I survive." And Paul continues to explain all that is true in the body of Christ. We see people with the gift of helps, these people who seem to be able to see what is needed to be done. Food needs to be served, chairs need to be set up, perhaps someone's house needs to be cleaned, or a ministry needs to be helped. They are able to do it and they enjoy doing it. Some may think, oh well, they're nice to have around, but how important are they in the work of the church, as they do not teach or preach or sing or anything like that? But what would happen if these people ceased using the gift of helps? The whole structure would slowly grind to a stop. Then, talking about what is described in verses 23 to 24, and the parts that we think are less honourable, we treat with special honour, and the parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty, while our presentable parts need no special treatment. But God has combined the members of the body and has given greater honour to the parts that lacked it. Paul simply draws the analogy with the body of Christ. He says there are hidden secret functions within the body, never mentioned in public, that are nevertheless exceedingly important. Take the ministry of prayer, for instance, and those people who consistently pray for others. Philip mentioned our former Archbishop Rowan Williams last week as an example. And over the many years I've attended this church, I've known several ladies who devoted many hours each day to prayer. And what a mighty, valuable ministry that was and is. The Scottish evangelist Eric Liddell, whose life was turned into a film, Chariots of Fire, explained that he felt God had given him the gift and ability to run fast, and this was pleasing to the Almighty. If one be honoured, all are honoured with them. If some member of the body does an outstanding piece of work, that opens the door for the deliverance of hundreds of people, or even a few people, and ministers the grace and the love of Christ. Everybody touched by that will be blessed by it. They will regard the body and the Church of Christ in greater honour than before. So the responsibility for the reputation of the body rests with every one of us. And how we act is going to govern how other people see the body of Christ at work in the world today. We belong together and we suffer together. No member is an island. We are joined together in Jesus Christ as his body. We need each other. Many of us want to see the church grow, but what kind of church are we trying to grow? We are not called to be successful, but we are called to love and serve one another. Maybe we should focus less on how to grow the church and focus more on how to be the church. Are we cultivating the fruit of the Spirit? Is there joy in serving the Lord, no matter what the circumstances? Are we loving and caring and serving one another now? Because if we are not, then why would we expect others to be part of us? So let us all be the church, be his body. Amen.